Let's get real about the Christian life. It's not always about being right or wrong. Sometimes it's about loving the people around us and protecting those who might be a little less sure on their feet. Today, in Romans 14, we're talking about the gray areas, those lifestyle choices when there's not a clear right or wrong. Paul lays down a powerful principle about how we navigate these situations. Stephen called this lesson, Protecting the Weaker Brother.
Now we've been sailing through the challenging waters of Romans chapter 14, and the Apostle Paul is giving guidance to believers regarding these doubtful things. We're calling them these gray areas of life. And these are the areas of life where the Bible doesn't clearly speak to some decision that we need to make. Now, so far in our journey, Paul has encouraged us to develop personal convictions and to prayerfully and carefully determine what might be the wisest, most God-glorifying decision to make. Now, at the same time, Paul effectively tells us not to expect everybody in the Christian community to make the same decision. Well, those people in Rome who wouldn't eat meat from the pagan marketplace were just as right as the believers who bought their steak and hamburger directly from the temple. They didn't all view the Sabbath day the same. They didn't view the Jewish festivals with the same attitude. And Paul makes it clear that these are matters of personal conscience. For any number of reasons, you make a decision today that's different from other Christians. And both decisions, Paul says, can be equally valid before the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to worry about other believers, that we can say, well, you know, if they have a problem with our decisions, well, you know, it's their problem. No. Paul is going to move on now to give us another principle for handling these gray areas of life. I like to call this the principle of protection. Let's pick up our journey in Romans 14 at verse 13 now, as Paul writes, "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer." Now, by the way, writing this implies that the church in Rome is having some trouble. Disagreements are turning into dissension, and Paul is encouraging believers here to actually stop judging each other and start protecting each other. How? Well, Paul writes here in the last part of verse 13, "Rather, decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." Now, the word here for stumbling block translates the Greek word that refers to something that's in your way that you stumble over. It's an obstacle, like your child's toy left out on the floor, which you step on and trip over. It hurts, and you might even fall down. Now, keep in mind this thought here that a stumbling block is unintentional. Your child didn't put that toy there to make you trip or fall. But Paul refers here not only to a stumbling block, but also, he writes, to a hindrance. That word in the Greek language is scandalon, which gives us our word scandal. A scandalon is intentional. It's something done with full awareness. In fact, this word was used for the trigger of a trap in Paul's day, much like a mouse trap today. We had some mice out on our back porch not too long ago, and I intentionally set out a mouse trap. I even put a little piece of cheese on that trigger point, the scandalon of that mouse trap. I knew it might bring some serious harm to that mouse, and that was my intention. Now, Paul is telling us here, don't live in such a way that you knowingly create a dangerous trap for another believer, something that could bring confusion or spiritual harm to that person's walk with Christ. I remember a man coming to visit me one day in my office at church. He'd begun attending our church, and he told me he was leaving his church and coming to ours, and I asked him why. He said that he was a recovering alcoholic, and the men in his church would gather for weekly Bible study, and they'd all bring their beer over and drink it during the Bible study. And he told me it was just too tempting for me. It was a trap for me, and I didn't want to fall back into my old addiction. Well, let me tell you, his Christian brothers were callously and uncaringly putting out a trap for him. Can you imagine a Bible study becoming a place of temptation? Beloved, we can insist on our liberty in Christ all we want, but Paul is effectively asking us here, is your liberty creating an unhealthy place for younger believers? Well, Paul adds his own personal testimony here in verse 14. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. Now, you might read this verse and be tempted to think, well, anything goes then, as long as I don't think it's wrong. Well, not exactly. The word unclean here refers to something that is common. The Jewish community used this word to refer to things they considered secular or common, that is, earthly, or we would call it unspiritual. When Paul says he doesn't think anything is unspiritual, he's obviously not referring to God's moral law, which certainly declares some things are unspiritual. In this context, he's referring to non-moral matters, like those related to the ceremonial law, such things as diet and ritual and observances of religious festivals. Your decision on these matters is neither right or wrong, unless your conscience troubles you. So Paul is saying here that while he doesn't think anything's wrong with either eating meat or not eating meat, what he thinks isn't the only issue. What his Christian brother thinks matters as well. Beloved, you might have the right to do something you want to do as long as your conscience remains pure, but are you willing to limit your liberty for the sake of the conscience of a younger, weaker brother in Christ? Now you might say, Stephen, that's not fair. I know the truth of grace and liberty, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I'm right. Well, Paul is telling us there's something more important than being right. He says here in verse 15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Again, you read this and you might think, well, just let him be grieved. He'll get over it eventually. Well, that's an unloving attitude toward others. And Paul warns us here that our lack of love can bring harm to someone for whom Christ died. Loves and for whom Christ died. It's as if Paul is saying, look at what Christ sacrificed to pardon your brother. Won't you sacrifice something to protect your brother? Now be careful here. Paul isn't talking about trying to please everybody in the church, never doing anything that other Christians might not agree with. Let me tell you, some Christians get offended over every little thing. I remember my missionary father taking us four boys to the park on Sunday afternoon after lunch to play baseball together. Well, that offended some Christians who didn't think we should play baseball outdoors on the Lord's Day. Well, Paul isn't talking about those kinds of offenses. Frankly, we can be downright critical of others and hide behind the idea of, well, I'm offended. Well, Paul is using much stronger language here. Again, he says in verse 15, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. This word for grieved literally refers to spiritual damage, spiritual bondage caused by the actions of others. Because of what he sees us do, he isn't going to be spiritually destroyed, but he might be spiritually devastated. So let's be careful. Be sensitive to the needs of those who are young in their faith, especially. They're looking up to you. Make sure you don't look down on them. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, I'm in the habit of doing what I think is right as a Christian, and if somebody thinks I'm wrong, well, they're just the weaker brother and they need to grow up. Well, if that's your attitude, you're not walking in love. You might be the weaker brother in that case. So keep in mind this biblical principle of protection. I like the way one author put it, the Christian life is like walking on a high wire with a balancing pole. On one end of the pole is liberty. On the other end is love. And as you ask God for wisdom to maintain that kind of balance, beloved, Well, here's our prayer as we close our session today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
So, maybe you're solid in your convictions, and if so, that's great. But are you walking in love? Are you looking out for those around you who might still be figuring things out? Your choices, your words, and even what you eat, it matters more than you may realize. It can be a stumbling block or a safety net. Remember, Christ died for your brothers and sisters. So shouldn't you sacrifice your own rights to protect them? Let's ditch those spiritual traps and build each other up in true freedom. This is the wisdom journey. Stephen Davey called this lesson Protecting the Weaker Brother. Stephen is the president of Wisdom International. Learn more at wisdomonline.org. We have a tool on that site that can transform how you explore the Bible and deepen your understanding of the Christian faith. We've released what's called a chatbot. A chatbot is an online tool that can answer your questions. And what's unique about this resource is that we've indexed all of Stephen's Bible teaching ministry. When you ask a question, the answer will come from a teacher you can trust. Our tool is designed to provide instant, insightful answers to your Bible-related questions, anytime and anywhere. You can still email us questions if you want to, but our new tool will answer your questions in seconds. So, ask away. You'll see a blue icon on the bottom of every page. No question is too big or too small. From deep theological inquiries to practical life applications of Bible principles, this tool is equipped to handle a broad spectrum of questions. One of the things people have told us that they appreciate most about this tool is that the answers come directly from Stephen Davey. You'll get quick, accurate responses and a direct link to where Stephen talks about that issue in one of his lessons. Stephen has thousands of hours of Bible teaching on the website, and this tool helps you search all of that quickly and easily. Visit wisdomonline.org. I'm glad you were with us. We're going to continue through the Bible in the days ahead, and I hope you'll be with us on the wisdom journey.